Call the meeting to order. We are in the midst of public hearing for the ordinance amendment to chapters 99 and 115, open space. Everyone, take it, has had sufficient time to read the material that was presented. And Mr. Lank, with an ordinance, I guess we'll start by taking some public testimony, or do we want to discuss?
Typically, the ordinance introduced, if any commissioners had questions about the ordinance, then it's, there's some discussion. Typically, you go right to the public record and just open the floor.
Okay.
Whether you do for or against or just combined, doesn't matter.
Any questions before we begin?
I would have a comment on Leanne Walls.
Go ahead.
I thought her comments are, I don't know if they're worth mentioning or worth asking the council to, you know, consider them. I thought it was very good.
What we've done other times is when we've had correspondence like this, we can act on the motion and at the same time in the motion ask that the council give consideration to the attached correspondence, and that gets it into their program when they look at it.
Only these letters, though.
Well,
or whatever else
you can attach as much as you want.
Okay, but if we said we're these letters need to go up, then these would be the ones to be considered.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I think that they'll all be part of the record before county council when county council considers the ordinances. To elaborate a little bit on what Mr. Wheatley said, you can make a recommendation for specific changes to the ordinance if there's something in there that you want to change. Or you can make it more general to say, I recommend that council incorporate the comments from so-and-so's letter dated whatever, you know.
Or consider incorporating.
Right.
And that way they at least will be looking at it and they can decide.
What you've done in the past is a different methods of different ordinances, because you've had some you approve as written, there's
right.
been some you recommend to council that they did not reject and rewrite.
Start over, yeah.
And give reasons why, and there's been some that you have deferred and then give recommendations later. If you get substantial changes, you have to look at whether or not it would impact this ordinance. If you feel this ordinance could be adopted, as written with some minor amendments, or because if you get into major amendments, it may require a rewrite and a republic hearing.
Right, now I was going to add that, yeah, because you have the statutory requirements.
You're limited on how much you can add
right.
to the ordinance.
From this one.
Right. Some limitations.
Yeah, to recommend that it be approved or adopted, you would have to pretty much substantially agree with what's in there, or in general. That doesn't mean you can't make a recommendation that something else be considered along with it.
Because if you looked at there's four letters, and all the letters have some portion or all of the letter.
Right.
In some cases,
and we haven't
be incorporated.
Right, and we haven't heard from these folks yet.
Right.
We might get a suggestion that you want incorporated or considered there, too. So, Mr. Johnson, you have any questions right now?
Not at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Gordy?
Not at this time.
Okay, Mr. Smith?
One question maybe for the benefit of those in attendance and listening at home. How closely does this ordinance in front of us follow the guidelines that we as commissioners, when we met with URDS and their recommendations? Is this a substantial reflection of the cohesive efforts of URDS and the Planning Commission of those some odd months ago?
I remember the commission early on, it's been several months ago, reviewed the basis of this ordinance. And then it was referred to the legal counsel to bring it into conformity with the code. At the same time we were looking at, I believe about the same time, we were looking at superior design.
Correct.
And that was the ordinance that we rejected and asked that they relook at the land use plan to make and bring in all the items that were referenced, because they had left off a few. That's been rewritten. It'll be heard in a few weeks. But this one, I believe,
I think this is
pretty much the same.
What we talked about.
That was my impression that it was, but I
yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty much the way we looked at it before, and it just had to be brought into format.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, anyone else have any questions before we open it up? All right, everyone. This isn't either for or against. We'd just ask anyone who has an interest that would like to speak, please come forward. Yes, sir. Mr. Gross.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Roger Gross. I'm a professional engineer with Mearstone Consultants. I haven't had a chance to spend a lot of time with the ordinance, but I did download it early this week. And one of the things that struck me when I kind of breezed through it was under Section 99-5, under the following uses are not permitted. Actually, let me start by saying I had the occasion this week to meet and discuss, not particularly regarding this ordinance, but the conversation came up with a Newcastle County planner, and they have an open space ordinance, which is similar to the it's a clustering type ordinance, but it's called an open space plan that they create. One of the things that they do is they allow stormwater management in the areas that you can calculate in regards to the open space. But what they do, which I think is interesting, and I think it's a better way to deal with it than saying generally that stormwater management facility areas can't be calculated as part of your open space, is that they set dimensional requirements. Because the question I have for you, the fact that stormwater management facility areas is not included, to me, would mean that you guys are looking to provide usable open space, and by virtue of not allowing stormwater management areas in the open space, you think you're going to be able to create upland areas or usable areas of open space. Would that be a fair statement?
Who wants to answer that question?
Anyway, I think the answer is to me anyway, when I first read this, that was the conclusion that I came to.
Probably.
And I think a better way to deal with that, especially since a lot of the state's new initiatives regarding stormwater management, they're more passive in nature, BMPs, their filtration systems, infiltration systems, which are more conducive to an open space type of use. They're not big ponds.
Right.
I think you're going to take, by putting stormwater there, you're going to kind of steer consultants to a position where you're not making it, I don't want to put this, we're not going to focus on those types of systems, especially if we're going to be penalized by not being able to utilize them as part of our open space calculation. So if basically the reason for putting stormwater management facilities as a land area that you can't calculate as open space is to provide more usable open space, then I would suggest that you just delete that and put a set a dimensional requirement on either a percentage of the open space or a minimum acreage, probably more percentage because open space is going to vary depending on how big the project is, and say that X percent of your open space has to be upland area and usable, or set some dimensional requirements to it. So, you know, you're getting that type of area versus, you know, the wetlands and the wooded wetland areas. Just a suggestion to think about.
Let me ask you a question then. If what you're talking about, if the issue is the ponds, then and the alternatives you're talking about, would they be considered part of the green technology?
Yeah, and you know, we hear it at every public hearing. You know, every consultant, you know, it comes from the commission as well. We're going to implement BMP practices, and really the state's initiative is kind of a movement away from the big pond with the big gun pointing out of the pond at your next-door neighbor into these more passive type of stormwater systems, green technology systems.
I think the and gentlemen jump in here, but I think part of the intent was to encourage the alternative. I agree with you. The stormwater system, where does that definition start and stop?
Right. But I mean, as I read this, then I'm going to be penalized if I'm doing an open space plan or a cluster plan, because I'm not going to be able to, I'm not going to want to focus on those technologies per se. I don't think people should be penalized for that, especially if I think the result or the intent of that stormwater management area is not be included in the calculation. If you look at it from a 180-degree flip, I think the purpose of that statement is to create more usable open space. Well, yes. Just set that parameter in the ordinance. Say, okay, you're going to have 30% open space. A percentage of your open space or a minimum acreage of your open space has to be uplands, cannot be wetlands, or it has to be of a usable variety at a minimum width of create a usable open space versus saying that people can't put stormwater management facilities as part of their open space calculation. I think you're going to serve the same purpose. You're going to create usable open space.
Mr. Chairman, referring back to your question about the why pulling out the stormwater management ponds, from my perspective, it's lumping that in with the other parts of the infrastructure that goes into a subdivision, same as your streets, same as your sewer treatment plants, same as your sidewalks and that sort of thing. That's part of the infrastructure that we perceive. And given the green technology that is available with your swales and where you don't wind up with a bunch of houses and one big pond, you know, it's going to steer you more towards using the other types of green technologies where maybe there is going to be some grassy fields where people can walk in and make use of, although it's still considered passive, you know, recreation, but it's still an amenity that's available to the residents beyond just viewing a dirt hole. And that's what I see as a commissioner many times are these large stormwater management ponds that seem to serve no purpose. And given that they're dry 95% of the time, and it's a big hole.
Right, but there are, and like I said, I think the push on the state level is more for these green technology systems. And there are things as filter strips and real passive things that probably any a layman walking by wouldn't even know it's a stormwater facility.
Exactly.
And I don't think they should be penalized, and I think they should be included as part of the open. Plus, and also, I think ponds done a certain way with fountains, with perimeter trails and landscaping, and there's examples, I think, in this county that, you know, that's really a recreational benefit for folks in the community to walk around the pond. I mean, that is really, to me, now you're right, there are examples of poor ponds that really wouldn't qualify under anybody's definition as open space, but you know, the ability for some of these stormwater systems, even ponds, to be kind of intermingled with recreational uses, I think exists. And I don't think it should be discounted.
Well, and back to what you were saying about the ponds, I think that is outlined under the open space definition under B, where they talk about ponds that have a demonstrated safe recreational value and purpose. So, you know, that might include, you know, a pond that perhaps you stock with fish or, you know, with the fountains. But so perhaps, that, you know, that what you're describing may fit into that category.
And in regards to that, the ponds that are permitted, it's, I don't know if it's ambiguous, but there's some little bit of confusion. At least it hit me right on the surface when I read it without picking apart each syllable or word, that there was a contradiction between, okay, well, I can do ponds that demonstrate safe recreational value. Does that mean that I can't? Because I could design a pond that handles stormwater management and demonstrate that it provides a recreational value. Does that mean that I can do it? But yet, if I look at what's not permitted, stormwater management facility areas are not permitted. So there's a little bit of a language issue, I think, within that needs to be dealt with.
The way it's worded right now, just Mr. Johnson, it doesn't distinguish between ponds or facilities. I mean, it's all facilities. So whether it's green or a pond, it's...
Yeah, it's kind of lumped in there.
And I think that's worth considering. Because I think what we're trying to get away from are the big, ugly ponds.
Right.
Like I say, why punish it? Why punish?
Yeah.
The developer is trying to go the green way.
Yeah. In fact, we should be encouraging that.
Go ahead. I thought that the theory of the green technology is that the density, the size of everything got smaller. so that by using that green technology, and you can tell me this, Mr. Gerth, is that if my pond is going to be 3 acres, and if I use green technology, the total square foot of that might be 1.5. And in that example, it wouldn't be a penalized, it would be a plus.
Well, there's different treatment trains and different, and believe me, I know that the BMP acronym is thrown out like at every public hearing, but it's just evolving. I mean, let's face it, it's really, in regards to the actual implementation of it, it's really kind of, at least in down here, it's just evolving.
I think what the idea is that the green or the BMPs should yield, what we're encouraging is that it yield a smaller
plus,
and that's a good thing, okay?
Right.
The way that would work is if you have like a 50-foot buffer area, well, that buffer area can also be used to filter and get rid of some stormwater. So less water actually gets to the pond and jumps
right.
in the pond, telling
exactly.
you is wrong. But that gets in the pond, so the pond has to have less capacity, so the pond gets smaller. In some instances, you can do it without a pond. If you've got enough area. And since that's what we're trying to encourage, I think the man is right that we don't want to penalize people for using these technologies that actually might take more land, but are more attractive and better for the environment and so on. So,
in that example of the green technology going through the buffer, would that be counted in the stormwater management?
No. What I'm saying is that would not be that would be allowed to be counted as open space. Okay, to say
right.
it the other way,
it, in the
it could be included as part of the open space. And the point is that the buffer could be utilized, because when they do these, they're not 3 foot deep. They're maybe 6 inches or a foot or something.
But to follow up with that, just so that the commission's clear,
and they have to be mowed.
In terms of the recommendation, I think what Mr. Gross is saying what needs to happen then is that needs to be clarified, because I think the way it's worded now is you could end up with something that could count towards your open space negated because it's a quote-unquote stormwater management facility.
And then
and you don't want that to happen.
And the other, like I said, the other part of that is there are, and I'm sure everybody on the commission here has been in subdivisions where some ponds are a very attractive amenity and have a recreational benefit to that community. And you know, I'd hate to see them not be included as part of the open space calculation. Now, how you ensure that gets done.
The problem you're going to run into with that is how are you going to define it? You know, how would you reduce it to writing?
Right.
You know,
that's the basic problem we've got here.
That's the basic problem is that if you, and I caution you gentlemen again about trying to do too much and ending up with nothing, okay? When what these ordinances frequently have to evolve, you have to start somewhere, and you have to hear some applications based on them, and you know very soon the holes will reveal themselves because these guys are masters at finding them. The problem is if you try to plug them all at one time, you're never going to get anything done. So I appreciate what you're saying. I just don't know how we would do it because it's very subjective. It's like writing an aesthetic ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you're essentially asking us for is an aesthetic ordinance for stormwater management ponds.
Stormwater management.
In other words, pretty ones are okay, ugly ones aren't. Who defines beauty and ugliness?
Right.
You know?
But I think you should. If
we all know it when we see it, right?
But I'm okay with actually. I think maybe in Part B of 99.5, in regards to where it says ponds that demonstrated a safe recreational value, should allow them to deal with stormwater management as well.
Maybe.
I don't see why that would be a problem. Because I can put a pond in that doesn't have any stormwater management value.
True.
That looks like some of these stormwater ponds that we've been talking about.
You could, but you wouldn't. But the thing is, what could very well happen is you'd be right back to having the great big storm water pond, but because it has a fountain and a path around it, you get credit for your, you know, so we've just defeated the purpose of what we're trying to do. So you just got to figure out how to do this without ponds there, big boy. That's why you get the big bucks.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just a few more points, and then I'll let you go, because I promised my wife that I would feed her tonight. So,
she is not letting you off the hook either.
Okay. Under C, under 99.5, the uses that are not permitted under C, you get a lot of community centers that require parking, and I know it says parking and or loading areas in there, so you might want to work on that language a little bit. It says predominantly impervious surfaces such as street right-of-way, sidewalks within street right or within street right-of-ways, parking and or loading areas. Well, some of these larger community facilities have parking spots, parking lots, and loading areas.
But you're saying they should be counted, that should be counted as open space?
As part of the calculation. Otherwise, how are you going to deal with that?
Well, impervious surface is impervious surface, no matter where it is. An impervious surface doesn't count.
But usually you have open space parcels. I mean, so if I have a community, if I have a parcel of, that's a community area parcel,
right.
Say it's 2 acres, and there's a site plan, I'm going to be required to split that acreage out from impervious and what's grass? Or can I not just designate that as an open space parcel? It's for the benefit of the community. It's, yeah, it's got some macadam and a community building in it. I'm trying to reduce the amount of math that I have to do when I put a plan together.
For heaven's sake, you're an engineer. That's all you guys do all day long. And you don't do it anyway. You've got computers doing it for you.
That's so. Not true. I used to do it the old way.
That's because you're an old guy.
Right.
But if you're talking about a subdivision, and I think if you're talking about a site plan, if you go to 99.26, it makes reference that you're doing that location, and the legend or plot notes that showed breakdown of acreages, gross and net of open space, percentages of open space to total gross acreage, and the total acreage of the proposed streets, roads, parking lots, alleys, and ways, et cetera.
So in the situation where you have a parcel that's
gotta do it anyway.
A community area, you're going to have to... You can't count that 2-acre parcel as part of your open space requirement.
Not the whole thing.
It's not a separate calculation. It's one and the same as what you're saying. It's part of.
Well, this is telling you that in part of your site plan, in the final site plan specifically, you're going to have to get that calculation. All those calculations have to be on the site plan.
Okay.
That's what's intended or proposed.
But I guess what I was hearing you say, Mr. Gross, is that if the parking lot is associated with a recreational facility, you would like to have that considered part of the open space versus perhaps right. in some housing developments, especially multi-family housing, you'll have parking spaces that are set aside separate from the buildings to give you your 3 parking spots per unit.
Well, I guess an example to prove.
But a tennis court.
Just absolutely. If you had open space, a perimeter open space parcel, and you had a 4-foot-wide walking trail in there, I mean, generally, that you're going to delineate that with meets and bounds, that parcel of ground, that's that open space. So in the calculation table, I guess what you're telling me, Lawrence, is I got to actually take that parcel of ground, which is labeled as an open space parcel at 2 acres, and I got to do a new calculation table that shows how much of that is truly open space, and how much is nature trail?
You're not carving out a meets and bounds area for the open space.
Generally, on a record plan, your open space parcels are defined by meets and bounds.
Talking about the parcel itself. If you
the
go
parcel
back,
itself.
If you go back to F,
subdivision though.
Under permitted within an open space, it says sidewalks not located within the street right-of-ways. Doesn't say anything about sidewalks within an open space area. But it's still, you got the problem with parking within open space sites.
Like street and everything else in there.
But there would be some calculation.
Big deal.
Yeah,
because it's defined because everything else is defined.
Yeah, right.
It's defined.
Well, right.
I mean, I just usually when I put together plans, and you know, maybe I've just been doing it wrong for years, but generally my plan data table, when it's a subdivision orientated type plan that has open space, the open space parcels are. The parcels that have meets and bounds. They're like a lot parcel.
Aren't those meets
and I
and
add
bounds,
all those up.
Aren't those meets and bounds the result of having meets and bounds for everything else?
The lots and
for the
perimeter.
Lots and the streets. You got to have meets and bounds for all
right.
that.
But I want to count,
so,
but you're telling me I got to take those individual parcels and account for
the impervious surface that's
in,
that's
in other words, the overall meets and bound parcel of my open space is not technically, even though it's an open space parcel to be maintained by the homeowners association, it's not going to qualify that 2-acre boundary parcel of open space.
Don't confuse the definition of open space for ordinance purposes and the definition of open space for your homeowners purposes, okay? Because it's going to be it's going to be two different things.
Okay.
Open space and common area are not the same thing.
Okay.
That's what I meant to say. Yeah.
So in order to qualify under this definition of open space, if there are impervious features within that parcel,
I have to take them out of there.
Okay.
And what you're telling us is you'd rather not have it say that. And I would suggest to you that you could perhaps make some case for sport courts and stuff like that.
Right. Or parking lots associated with community buildings and pools and decks.
Now you're reaching. Okay. Now you're reaching. You're here. You're like saying you can ask for anything you want.
Right. Anyway, I guess that's so that's at first blush, that's all I had at this point, and I appreciate your time and consideration on these matters.
All kidding and levity aside, we appreciate your time. And,
okay.
And
thank you.
And Roger, what you're seeing everything twice because there's two different ordinances that reference Chapter 99, the subdivision regs, and 115, the zoning ordinance. The comments are they're trying to dovetail them so they match.
And just one quick question.
Yes,
when's
sir.
The public hearing on the design standards for the clusters? It's not.
The next meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
20th.
All right. Great. Thank you.
We'll save you a seat.
Thanks.
Okay, who's next? Yes, ma'am. Right here. Been waiting patiently all night.
Oh,
sitting in the front row.
Who are they? There are two sheets each there.
I'll
separate it.
Two sets each.
They're good. Yeah,
you're good. Two sets each. There's
one's
a single and one's a staple.
That's good. Just take a, And then this is a reference, just one copy of it.
Okay. Let's take, one off there.
I'm Carol Basin. I'm from Milton, Delaware. I'm representing the Center for the Inland Bays tonight. I have with me Ron Waslick, who's the chair of the Citizens Advisory Committee, and Harry Hayon, who's on our Public Policy Committee. Ed Lewandowski and Rick Eagle could not be here tonight, and they expressed their apologies for not being here, but I'm going to represent the center tonight and present to you some of the things that we have. I have two things. One is a markup on the ordinance, and I'd like to run through those quickly. There are seven notations, and they're duplicated because they're the same for 99 and chapter 115. And then I have a statement afterwards that I'd just like to add some of the things, another way to look at this similar to your letters. So first of all, if you bear with me, we can just go down the pages. On page one, there are three notations, everything's in red, that we suggested changes to. For the first one, open space, those land areas within all residential subdivisions, residential plan communities, or other residential developments. That was just to correct, I think, an inconsistency with the top, because residential plan communities are kind of separate from the zoning, and we want to make sure that all residential zoning districts apply. So I don't know.
All residential subdivisions means all residential.
All residential communities.
And RPC
period.
Is part of the
RPC
okay.
is part is a subdivision. It's
okay.
a type of subdivision.
And that comes under both 115.
But it's differentiated at the top. We just want to make sure that was there. That's the rationale. But if that
well,
means
I see
all,
you're talking about the
title. That's
gotcha.
Good.
Suspenders and a belt, not a problem.
Yeah. Number two, since our charge is protection and restoration of the inland bays, we wanted to add to the list for the definition of open space, or as a protection for wetlands and waterways, or as required to meet federal, state, and or county regulations, whichever the most protective of the environment. We have both active and passive recreational space listed here. We have land in a predominantly undeveloped or natural state, et cetera. So we just wanted to be sure that the surrounds around waterways and wetlands are also considered a part of the open space. Buffers is listed in the accepted uses, so we consider that also, just a recommendation. Number three, A is the first definition for permitted uses, and this comes to, I believe, what you'll read, you have in your letters, what Mr. Gross was saying. Recreational facilities, including swimming pools, game courts, play areas, walking paths, bike paths, and multimodal paths that are not located on a state road right of way. Our concern here is the 40% open space in a cluster subdivision or the 25% somewhere else could be a total impervious surface from an active recreational use. We feel it's very important to limit that impervious surface, and this might handle the other comments. We would like to say allowable impervious cover on recreational facilities in the open space shall not exceed 15% of the calculated open space area. The 15% comes from several studies. Our Science and Technical Advisory Committee worked with us today on this, and we have provided one source that shows that above 15% open space begins to degrade with more than 15%, and depending on the use, 5 and 10% is really a recommended number. So we would like to see the county put something in there to limit the impervious surface so that we can have a more protective ordinance for the open space. Okay, page 2, on F, sidewalks are not located within the streets right-of-way. We would like to make that pervious sidewalks. Again, we're talking about impervious surface, and these sidewalks that aren't on the rights of way could be designed so that they're more pervious than a cement sidewalk or solid asphalt sidewalk. So we'd like to see you take consideration of that. Number H, we have added non-tidal wetlands. And the reason for that is non-tidal wetlands are not addressed anywhere in here. It would be a very good thing, an opportunity for us to preserve some of those areas, give an incentive for a developer to look at a non-tidal wetland and say, hey, I can use that for my open space. Let's keep that as is.
Can I ask you a question real quick, Marva, right there? We had an H which said spray irrigation areas not including areas occupied by rapid infiltration basins.
We removed it.
You removed it, okay.
Yeah, and I'm going to get to it on E. Okay, and we decided we wouldn't bother you twice with the same thing. So, yes, we did remove that. And item E under not permitted uses, we put spray irrigation areas and septic fields. Now, the septic fields we're interested in excluding would be for central septic facilities for an entire community. And there are some that exist. We don't feel that is an acceptable open space use. It wasn't there, so we think it's important to add that. The spray irrigation areas, being an industrial use also, it is not consistent with the open space definition here. We're not saying don't use spray irrigation. If there's a forest protected area that might be being fertilized through spray irrigation, that would be one thing, but spray irrigation areas per se, we don't feel should be counted as open space because their value is questionable with that regard. So that's for your consideration also. Number 7 is just an addition to 9926 where for the plat requirements and I know this was just discussed, but to add the percent impervious cover within the open space to the plat. We have the percentage of open space to total gross area. I know we calculate this, so I think if we add the maximum percent that can be in what's considered an open space area, percent impervious, then we can add that to our record too. And then the other pages are just the exact same thing applied to section 115. Okay. So then I'd like to talk. We met today with Ed and Chris Bass, Ed Lewandowski, Chris Basin, and my colleagues here. And first of all, we'd like to say we appreciate the county's prompt action on the comprehensive plan ordinances, particularly this open space ordinance. We've been working with you for the last couple of years on putting this together, and we made a recommendation last February, which we presented to the council, that included the request for an open space definition. And we also suggested that we not only provide an open space definition as a part of our code, but also to categorize the open space based on its value. So this comes back to some of the comments in the letters, et cetera, of taking active and passive recreation and separating them. Number one and two on this page, the second page, is a recommendation that we'd like to make. We recommend a requirement that a certain percentage of total open space must be natural lands and have as their primary purpose habitat conservation. That comes back to the issue of the way the ordinance is written now. Actually, your total open space could be an active recreation area, and there is no requirement to have green spaces for people to walk and things that would protect and provide more corridors, adjacent areas for wildlife habitat, et cetera, and protecting the bays, the inland bays, and the watershed. We feel this is terribly important. These lands may be called conservation open space or conservation lands, and we include freshwater wetlands, natural upland forests and grasslands, water quality buffers, wildlife corridors, and certain property buffers. And you already have those listed in your accepted uses. Recreational opportunities in agreement with the primary purpose of these lands should be encouraged. This requirement would encourage and ensure the protection of wildlife habitat within and among developments. And as a part of our charge, our comprehensive conservation management plan, which is a joint agreement between the state and local governments and the Center for the Inland Bays to restore and protect the inland bays, one of our tactics is habitat protection plan. So we feel that the open space is a key area. This is one of the most important ordinances, we feel, to help protect the bays and keep them or try to improve their quality now. So we would be happy, CIB would be happy to meet with you and try to come up with, as soon as possible, with an appropriate percentage of total open space that meets this conservation need. So in other words, what we're requesting is that it be added to the ordinance that a certain percentage would be a protective type open space versus an active recreational open space. Stormwater management plan, there would be incentives, et cetera, for the developer to choose to put a buffer as an open space or protect a landform or tidal wetland and non-tidal wetland that's there. So we thank you for your time, and if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Any questions, gentlemen? All right, then, we thank you. Appreciate your hard work.
You.
Okay, who's next? Yes, sir.
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm Kevin Burdett with McCrone Incorporated, and I would like to tell you that I have a copy to hand you, but my computer ate it, so we will give you the unmarked copy, and there are very few changes. If you go to page 199.5, open space definition, we would ask that you add between the words predominantly undeveloped, and then add the words harvesting agricultural state, comma.
Where are you, just so I can make sure?
Definitions, 99.5.
Okay.
We would ask you add the words harvesting agricultural state. What this basically does would allow you to count ground which is planted under corn, under an irrigation that's being spray irrigated, to be considered as open space, as it is open space, and takes away some of the concerns of irrigated, is it usable, not usable. Obviously, though, farmland that's in harvesting agricultural states is open space. Also, we have seen in other regions around the country where sublots are set aside for individual residents to have a garden. Those are open space. Those are activities that they have, and that's not addressed anywhere within your regulation to be able to allow that to happen. We're a little unclear further down in 99.5 under paragraph B as to why we would have to add and do not allow the use of motorized watercraft, because quite honestly, I can see many ponds being formed with jet ski ramps being placed into them, which would then pull them right out of this regulation.
Exactly.
So I don't necessarily see the need for the, and do not allow the use of motorized watercraft. If we go to the next page, page 2, under the following uses are not permitted. Land areas included within designated lot lines is what presently reads. That means that this ordinance by itself has said that there are no open spaces here in Delaware, because all open spaces fall within some kind of a lot line. It may be the boundary lot lines, and I would ask that we add the word residential lot lines to clarify that. Under item D, as Mr. Gross, let's go to C first, as Mr. Gross had spoken about as well, I would ask that at the end of that sentence you add the phrasing, obviously provided by Mr. Robertson, something to the extent that unless the main purpose is for serving a recreational activity. In that manner, as Mr. Johnson has asked in the past, that parking spaces be placed at pool facilities so that people could drive within the facility to get there and not have to walk 17 miles, we're not penalizing someone for trying to meet Mr. Johnson's request. Otherwise,
safe pedestrian travel. Safe pedestrian travel.
Safe pedestrian travel. However, on the larger developments, they're not going to want to walk a half a mile or a mile and a half to get to the pool. We know they're going to want to drive. I am fearful that unless we make some provisions for the recreational activities, that your request of a developer at that point is then asking him to jeopardize a percent of open space he has by adding parking spaces. And I'm not so sure that'll be within the confines, quite honestly, of the commission. Under item number D, the problem we have there, very similar to Mr. Gross's, it says stormwater management facilities areas. That does not take into consideration by any of the definitions in any of the ordinances that the county presently has for bioswales or new technology that is coming out. One of those new technologies has yet not been presented in Delaware as a project. We are looking at them. We are doing and working with some people across other places in this country, and that's with the purple pipe and recycling of water. Oftentimes you do have large ponds for that purpose, where you'll recycle wastewater, they go back, they go through infiltration into the ground, but the ponds may be relatively large, 8 acres, 10 acres. They obviously—
That makes it a wastewater system.
Well, if you consider it a wastewater system, at what point does water start and wastewater stop? I don't know, Mr. Wheatley, and that's something that DENREC has to—
The idea is argue. That we're trying to get rid of big holes in the ground.
I understand that. And I do have a solution for that, I believe.
Okay.
That, again,
big hole underground.
Mr. Robertson's expert tutelage in verbiage will be able to solve it. You can assign primacy in definitions so that if these certain things are met, it outweighs the primacy of a pond defined elsewhere. And that may be something you wish to consider or speak with URDC about trying to add to this.
And it might be in Open Space Ordinance 2.0.
It may be. It may be. I would also ask under item E, where you talk about the lagoons, that we go to primary treatment lagoons for just that purpose. Again, if we're looking at recycled water that meets clear drinking water standards, is it still wastewater? By putting it in as a primary treatment lagoon, that eliminates that argument from even coming up. It, at that point, is not a primary treatment facility, and it has would not fall under this category, and it would provide you with the items that I think you're looking for or have stated that you're looking for as far as open space.
Clarification on that?
Yes, sir.
So, for example, you might use an example of a lagoon to store water for spray irrigation.
Yeah.
It's typically, you know, I've seen this, seen some systems where you have the lagoons for the storage of the water until it's sprayed, whether it's drip or spray irrigation.
Yes, sir. And the water stored in that lagoon could be of all different kinds of quality. And I'm saying if you eliminate it, in other words, anything that's a primary treatment lagoon, yeah, it doesn't count for open space. If it is a storage vessel, because the temperature drops below 32 degrees, it's run through a filter membrane plant, the water is clean water, and it's a storage vessel, then isn't that really open space? If it's stocked with fish, I mean, then it becomes open space.
Are there any primary treatment lagoons out in subdivisions, though, or residential
development? I appreciate what you're saying, but are you even designing systems that have open primary lagoons anymore?
Sure.
But aren't those on standalone treatment plant areas?
You would put that in a subdivision, would you? Anyway.
I'm just curious.
You wouldn't. You may not put the primary lagoon, aeration lagoon, there, but there are facilities here in Sussex County within the subdivision that they have primary lagoons. Yes, sir.
Built in the last how many years? When was the last one of those built?
It's not enclosed. I mean, they're smaller, but
This one serves about 300 to 400 residents. Built, I'm going to say, and don't shoot me, but somewhere in the late 80s.
20 years ago.
Yes.
Old technology.
It's old technology, but it still doesn't. You could even put primary and secondary treatment, and that would take it out of the storage facility. Only thing I don't want to see us do is in this open space ordinance hurt ourselves for being able to apply best management practices, which you've heard, recycling.
It isn't hurting you from doing it. You just might not be able to count part of it in your open space. I don't understand where you're coming from, but the issue is, and you know, that's why these ordinances evolve. That's why I said this might be a subject for
Section 2.0
for the next revision, because the technology will change. You know.
Yes, sir, it will.
So we hear you. We'll take that under advisement. Go ahead.
Under 9932, and it goes from A to C, and I'm not sure why. In your paragraphs, but under C it says bonds posted to ensure the completion of, and then you've got requirements. Could I assume you meant construction requirements, and not, because I can perceive how somebody could say, well, that's the construction, and oh yeah, you've got to have maintenance for the next 20 years, so we want you to post a bond for that as well. So I'm just asking for a clarification. As it is on the roads, it's construction and not the maintenance of it. It's on page 4, Mr. Robertson.
Yeah, no, the reason there's not a B is because 9932B wasn't amended.
Okay.
So it wasn't reprinted.
Right. C is new.
Yeah, C's new. And A had that change in it, so that's why it's the B.
And the last one I would go to is under sections 115-172, where there is a little difference between the two pages. And I guess I would ask the question, why are you discriminating against mobile home parks? In the front, you're saying a perimeter buffer is acceptable as open space. Under 115-172, item 6, you're saying it's acceptable unless it's around a mobile home park, and then we don't count it as open space. I think that's a discriminatory statement of the type of housing, and I'm not so sure that's what the county would wish to present forward. Questions. Have a good evening.
Good question. We're going to research it.
Yeah,
appreciate all your hard work. Really good. Is there anyone else that would like to speak this evening? Gentlemen? Okay. Gentlemen, do we have any other questions, comments at this time?
Yeah, Rick picked up something. Let me find it again here.
Okay.
Under
page 2.
In D under 99-13, it says if an amendment proposes to subdivide, it should be if a subdivider proposes to subdivide, or if an amendment is proposed to subdivide.
Well,
it could be written a different way. Just that word amendment is wrong.
In the context of the subdivision ordinance, amendment doesn't really fit. You have a subdivision or you have a re-subdivision. You don't have an amendment.
You don't have an amendment to a subdivision.
Right.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. Well, do you have an amendment to a conditional use?
Yeah, but that would be under
this
one.
This is
under
a different section.
Different ordinance.
It really should say if a subdivider.
And that would be consistent with paragraph B.
Yeah.
Rather than if an amendment.
Okay. Anyone else have anything you wish to discuss at this point? We will be referring back to it to hopefully to make some kind of recommendation.
No, I don't. I mean, and I wasn't
involved. That's a good question.
I don't know. That maybe one we ask URDC or maybe one that you all consider in a recommendation to county council. I went back and looked at it, and I'm not sure the basis
really
for that.
I don't really know why you would.
Rick, do you know why that was?
I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, I think that might have been some.
Most of the requirements within, for example, the streets requirements in a mobile home park community are the same as if they were to be built as a subdivision.
Yeah.
So there is some cross-reference in the subdivision ordinance
to
the mobile home park, mobile home manufactured home community. Steve, back to his mom, but I said mobile home again.
At least you didn't say trailers.
I mean, that's, I'm not sure where that came from either. Other than you're saying it should be, should not be treated as open space because it's under a different section.
Yeah.
In the mobile home park, the buffer is one line item and the open space calculation of 300 square feet per unit is another line item. So there is a difference anyway already.
And that may be the controlling definition and usage of open space is what's in that particular section of the ordinance.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense, though. Mm-hmm. To address that.
Yeah. Anything else? All right, then. We'll close the public hearing. We thank you all for being with us. We invite you to remain with us for the rest of your Thursday evening to see if we make a decision. Our next